flying stars skim across a lake toward a distinctive pyramid-like mountain with a snow-covered peak. The stars form an arch over the mountain. Paramount, a Viacom company. Titles appear over weathered wooden slats. Paramount Pictures and Columbia Pictures present a Kennedy Marshall production in association with Scholastic Productions, a Frank Oz film, The Indian in the Cupboard. The weathered wood swings slowly aside like a door, revealing a small plastic figurine of a Native American. Hal Scardino. The door closes, then reopens on another Native American toy. Lightfoot. Now the door opens on a female figurine carrying a baby in a papoose. Lindsay Krause. Richard Jenkins. A ponytailed figurine holds a bow and arrow. Rishi Bhatt. Steve Coogan. Another toy holds a colorful shield. And David Keith. More figurines appear, including one of a deer. Sakina Jaffrey, Vincent Kartheiser, Nestor Serrano. Casting by Marjorie Simkin. Music composed by Randy Edelman. Costume designer Deborah L. Scott. Supervisor of Visual Effects, Eric Brevig. Film editor, Ian Crawford. Production designer, Leslie McDonald. Director of Photography, Russell Carpenter. Executive producers, Robert Harris, Marty Keltz, and Bernie Williams. A whole collection of figurines appear amid miniature trees, teepees, and rocks. Based upon the novel by Lynn Reed Banks. Screenplay by Melissa Matheson. Produced by Kathleen Kennedy, Frank Marshall, and Jane Starts. A view rises up showing the little figures in a diorama depicting a Native American village on the banks of a river. Directed by Frank Oz. The overhead view of the miniature morphs into a bird's eye view of a bustling school courtyard. Dressed in overalls, a slender boy with shaggy brown hair dashes out of the school and playfully shoves a blonde woman from behind. She waves to some other adults.
Hi. Bye, Rita.
See you, honey.
Hey.
Hey.
How was school today?
Okay.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
They head across the street.
Who's at home?
Nobody.
At home.
Happy birthday to you.
In the dining area, the boy stands before a birthday cake while a man videos the celebration. As nine candles flicker on the cake, Omri grins at those gathered around him. Two older boys sitting at the table applaud enthusiastically. Omri blows out the candles.
What'd you wish for, Omri?
He can't tell.
He can choose to tell.
You never do.
I don't want to know my wish.
I bet you wish for a skateboard.
He unwraps a skateboard.
He got you the good one.
Yes!
A dark-haired boy stands next to him.
Thanks,
a helmet.
Guys.
Here, I got you this.
One of the older boys hands over a gift. It's a many-armed skeletal action figure.
Thanks,
AD. Alrighty.
AD smiles, and the other older boy sets down a weathered cupboard.
What's that?
Cupboard.
Where'd you get that thing?
Found it.
Oh, and you washed it?
Yes, Mother.
Omri studies the object.
Nice.
No problem, bro.
Is there a key?
There's no key.
I have lots of keys.
You save keys?
Oh, I've collected them since I was a girl.
A dark-haired woman looks at Omri's
think
mom.
It means anything?
Did you say that?
The dad steps over.
I think she has secrets.
Hey!
Honey, great. What a sweet thing to say.
Omri and the dark-haired boy play with the skateboard.
Guys, not inside. But if you want to ride, you better go now.
Dale!
Not alone!
The two young boys stop and turn back.
AD?
The mom hands AD the helmet.
All right, let's go.
Later, the Brooklyn Bridge looms in the distance beyond the skate park as AD and other teens practice tricks. Omri and his dark-haired friend sit on the ground, watching the older boy's skateboard.
I can do that.
Piece of cake.
I got you something to celebrate your birthday.
He hands Omri a little plastic figurine of a Native American man.
It's like an antique.
Yeah.
I couldn't do much, you know. It just reminded me of you.
Now back home, Omri plays with some action figures as his mom dumps a box of keys out on his bed.
Okay, see if one fits.
I love these guys. One fits. Can I have it?
I'll give it to you.
He tries a key. Trying a second key, he finds it locks the cupboard door.
It works!
Let me see. Oh, my grandmother gave me that one.
She hands it back to him.
She was dying and she had nothing to leave me. So I picked up that key and I said I wanted it more than anything in the whole world.
He tries fitting an action figure inside.
Put it in the cupboard.
Here, put this in.
She tosses him the little figurine of a Native American man, and he sets it on the lower of two shelves inside the cupboard before closing it.
Omri, let's read.
Okay.
He locks the little cabinet's door, then clears toys off his bed.
Did I know her? Your grandma?
No, you didn't. She would have loved you.
Omri's mom sets the cupboard on his desk, switches off a light, and perches next to her boy, who sits up in bed peering at a book.
Because he was... Chapter 8, Markiplier. Because he was so small, Stuart was often hard to find around the house. His father and his mother and his brother George...
Seldom
could locate him by looking for him. Usually, they had to call. The house often echoed with cries of... Stuart!
A view moves toward the cupboard, which is bathed in moonlight from a window. Later, as Omri lies on his bed with his eyes closed, his dad steps into the dark room and gives him a kiss on the head. He brushes his son's hair affectionately and then slips out of the room, leaving the door slightly ajar so light still spills in from the hallway. Omri's eyes open. He closes them again and all goes dark. In the morning, sunlight streams into the bedroom. Omri lies motionless under the covers. The boy lifts his head slightly. Rolling over onto his back, Omri gazes sleepily down toward his desk. He rises up on his elbows and studies the cupboard. Lips slightly parted, he blinks. The boy slowly pulls the covers from his body and slides off the bed, his bare feet landing on the hardwood floor. Setting one foot in front of the other, he cautiously makes his way toward his desk. Dressed in an oversized maroon t-shirt, Omri continues forward until he stands right in front of the cupboard. As if pushed from within, the key pops out of the lock. Omri recoils slightly, then looks down at the old barrel key, which has a length of red ribbon tied to its heart-shaped bow. Leaning down, he picks up the key, then inches it toward the lock. He slips it in and turns it counterclockwise. The boy leans forward and gingerly opens the door of the cupboard. Seen from an angle, the cabinet appears empty. Omri rotates the cupboard toward the sun, revealing a tiny, living Native American man cowering in one corner. A grin spreads across the young boy's full lips. The little man peers up warily, his arms spread and his legs bent slightly. Omri stares at the sight as if hypnotized, his blue eyes unblinking. Dressed in a loincloth and white buckskin leggings, the bare-chested little man breathes heavily. Omri reaches slowly out with one hand, moving his index finger toward the figure in the cabinet. The little man draws a knife from a chest sheath. Omri withdraws. His eyes narrowing, the boy reaches out again. As Omri's finger nears, the man lashes out with his weapon.
Ow! You hurt me!
The little man clutches his weapon tightly, rocking from one foot to the other. Omri sinks down to his knees, wearing a gentle expression.
Hello.
Demon!
Demon?
Giant!
Me?
They both turn at the sound.
Omri, we're late.
His dad appears in the doorway as Omri slams the cupboard shut, locking it.
Well, come on, buddy, hurry.
His dad pulls some clothes out of a drawer for him and guides him off.
Come on, come on, come on.
A view lingers on the shiny key sticking out of the cupboard door. Moments later, Omri, his mom, and his older brothers all head out of their brownstone row house.
Look for my bike shorts. Are you working on the house today?
Hi, yep. Boys.
Have a nice day, Omri.
Bye, Dad.
Please make a skylight, please.
Oh, bye, guys.
Bye-bye, guys. Omri and his mother walk together. She checks her watch.
That wasn't too bad. Oh, pretty day.
Behind them, the dad heads for a basement level bearing a sign reading General Contracting.
Did you get something?
Why?
Did you?
He glances back. In school, Omri fidgets at his desk.
And Peter kisses the girl.
Okay.
He stares at the clock to see it's nearly two.
Emily?
Omri leans toward his dark-haired friend.
I love the Indian. He's so great. Why?
Omri.
Now back home, Omri rushes up his front steps. Omri dashes upstairs. He sprints into his room, drops to his knees, and twists the key. Swinging wide the cupboard door, his jaw hangs open. Inside stands the little plastic figurine, not the living, breathing man. The boy picks up the toy, then gazes around the inside of the empty cupboard. Biting his lower lip, he sets the figurine back inside on the bottom shelf. He closes the cabinet door and twists the key to lock it. Rising, he hangs his head and trudges sullenly toward the door. Later, as the family gathers in the dining area, Omri toys with his spaghetti, not eating.
Omri, I think your mealyworms are dead.
They're in the pupa stage.
Oh, man, I've seen the pupa stage. These suckers are dead.
Honey, you can start them again.
Sick. Tired.
The parents share a concerned look.
Come on.
With her arm around him, Omri's mom ushers the boy upstairs and into a bedroom. They ignore a clear plastic exercise ball with a rat running inside as it rolls by. Later, in the parents' bedroom, Omri sleeps between his folks as the dad watches TV.
I'm heading up now.
Night, pal. Gilly going up?
He's looking for his Walkman.
Okay.
AD heads off, and the father reaches over his sleeping son to stroke his wife's hair.
How do you feel about skylights?
Now, one sock hangs halfway off Omri's foot as he's carried down the hallway by his dad. Omri's father gently sets the boy down on his bed and pulls the covers up over him. Leaning down, he kisses his son, then slips away. The shadow of the bedroom door can be seen closing partway, then opening slightly to let more hallway light in. Omri stirs. He rolls onto his back and lifts his head. A broad grin spreads on his features and he rushes to the cupboard. He swings open the little door and peers inside. Standing in the shadows with his knife in his hand, the small man backs away.
I'm gonna hurt you.
This is magic?
I guess.
I think you are a dream.
Omri's eyes widen.
Are you a real Indian?
I am Onondaga, Wolf Clan, Iroquois.
Iroquois? I've heard of them.
The boy leans closer.
Were you always this small?
I'm not small. You are big.
But I'm not big. You are so small.
The little man lowers his weapon.
Can you be the peacemaker?
I'm a boy. My name is Omri.
Great Spirit can be a child.
Who are you?
The man slides his blade back in his chest sheath.
Ogwai. Little Bear.
Little Bear.
Omri blinks and looks toward the hallway, then hops up, trots over to his bedroom door, and closes it. He flips on a light switch, and Little Bear reels back, gazing down confusedly at the light now illuminating his hands and arms.
How do you know English?
We know the English. They suffer for us to fight the French for them.
When? What year?
Year 1761.
1761.
The boy holds his palm out before the cupboard.
Will you come out, Little Bear?
Little Bear backs up to the rear wall of the cabinet as he looks down at Omri's outstretched hand. The Native American takes a tentative step forward, glancing up to study the boy's welcoming expression. Little Bear pads closer, gripping the handle of his knife anxiously, then letting go of it. Standing at the edge of the cupboard, he lifts a foot toward Omri's fingers. Little Bear hesitates, then steps forward, landing on the boy's palm. Omri gingerly carries the man away from the cupboard, then holds him up to study the small, crouching figure.
You are so real.
I am. Yes. Are you?
Omri stares at the man on his palm, beaming. A view from outside peers up toward the boy's bedroom window. Inside, Omri rummages through a box in his closet, tossing toys behind him as Little Bear watches from the top of a dresser across the room.
If it is magic, the magic will take me home. I shall go now.
The boy walks over, hands behind his back.
What did you Scott here? Look, this is for you.
He produces an orange plastic teepee and sets it down on scraps of felt cluttering the dresser top.
What is it?
It's a teepee. You know, a teepee.
I do not know.
Little Bear touches the toy tent, then kicks it.
Terrible.
It's plastic.
Plastic. Plastic.
He touches it again.
Terrible.
I want to try it. Wait.
Omri places the teepee in the cupboard, closes the door, locks and unlocks it, and reopens the door. The teepee is now authentic-looking, composed of hand-stitched animal skin stretched over rough-hewn wooden poles.
You can sleep here.
Omri sets the transformed teepee back on the felt, then kneels down to gaze at the small man.
You and I, we are together, here.
We are here, together.
As Little Bear inspects the teepee, Omri heads for the light switch.
It's weird for me, too.
Do you make it night now?
It is night.
He turns off the light.
Yes, it is night.
Little Bear's eyes flit around the dark room.
I will be with you when the sun rises.
I hope. Go to sleep now.
Omri points toward the little teepee.
Sleep? You sleep?
Yes.
Little Bear kneels down and crawls through the tent's opening. He sticks his head back out, staring up at the boy, then shifts his gaze down toward the ground.
It is magic.
Little Bear withdraws into the teepee. Omri watches for a moment, then turns and scrambles across his bed. He pulls out a basket of toys from under his bed and dashes over to grab the cupboard and set it down near the basket. The boy pulls some assorted action figures out of the basket and sets them up inside the cupboard. Grinning excitedly, he peers in at toys of Darth Vader, G.I. Joe, a T-Rex, a Cardassian, a Ferengi, and RoboCop. He closes the door, locks and unlocks the cupboard, then reopens it. Eyes wide, he witnesses the now alive beings inside battling each other ferociously. On the upper shelf, Vader swings his lightsaber at the T-Rex, while below the others clash violently. Now they all turn toward Omri. Even the T-Rex throws him a look. The boy hurriedly closes the cabinet, reverses the process, and, as Little Bear watches, tosses the inanimate toys back in the basket and returns the cupboard to his desk. He leaps on the bed and dives under the covers, then hops back out, dashes to the door, and opens it a crack to let in some hallway light. Omri jumps back under the covers and stares off, his eyes wide and his mouth hanging open. Fade to black. In the morning, Omri lies on his back, his eyes closed, then he rolls to one side.
Great Omri. Up. A new day.
The boy's eyes flutter open to find Little Bear right beside his bed.
The day came without you. Do you make more magic now? Plastic things?
Make what?
A white man's gun.
Oh, no way. What else?
Make King George. I would like to see him.
I don't have any kings.
Where's your fire? How does your wife cook?
We're inside. We can't have a fire. And I don't have a wife. Do you have a wife?
She died.
I'm sorry.
Omri turns away from Little Bear, climbs out of bed, and trots over to close his bedroom door.
I have decided to stay. For a time.
Really?
Little Bear's brow furrows.
Really?
Great! Hey, I'll make you a bow and arrow.
Good! Tools also! I shall build a longhouse. Onondaga ga. Do not sleep in teepee.
What's a longhouse?
After rising from his seat on the bedside table, Little Bear climbs down a lamp cord. Omri peers under the bed to catch sight of him dropping to the floor on the far side.
The mother's house, the clan home. It is made of wood, very strong.
I can find tools. How about a horse? I can make you a horse.
A horse?
To ride.
Iroquois walk.
Little Bear turns, his eyes narrow, and reaches up with both hands to feel the breeze. He spots an open bedroom window.
What is that?
Omri rises to follow his gaze.
Outside.
Little Bear lifts his hands again.
Take us outside, Earth Grasper.
Moments later, Omri walks out of his bedroom carefully carrying a small cardboard box that was once packaging for a toy. He doubles back to glance in his parents' bedroom. Finding them both sleeping, the boy continues on down the staircase. Outside in the backyard, he pads down some wooden steps and along a brick path, then glances around. He leans his face down toward the box.
Don't run away, please.
Gently setting the box down, he bends open two flaps that were folded over one side of the container. Within, Little Bear rises, shielding his eyes from the sun. He steps out of the side of the box, squinting and blinking. A sapling tree towers over him, and birds soar across the blue sky above it. Behind him, Omri clears the box away. A monarch butterfly takes to the air as Little Bear trots deeper into the verdant underbrush, stepping toward blades of grass and dandelions taller than he is.
This is the same as where I live.
He spins, taking it all in. Omri crouches.
Get in! Get in!
The boy lifts up the box and carries it across the brick walkway, then starts up the wooden stairs. Spotting something, he stops and sets the container on a step. Omri steps to an area full of gardening supplies. He picks up a wooden seed starting tray full of earth, a jar lid, and some bark and twigs. He turns away to look for more as the shadow of a bird passes over him.
Shoo! Shoo! Get out! No!
He dashes back, driving a pigeon away from the box. Setting the container in the seed starting tray, he rushes up the steps. Inside, he carries the items into his bedroom, pushing the door closed behind him with his elbow and back. He glances around the room, then pulls a large wooden toy chest away from the wall and slips the seed starting tray to the floor behind it. Opening the side flaps of the cardboard box, he slides down to the ground and peers inside. Little Bear limps toward him, a bloody wound on one thigh.
I need bigger weapons.
You're hurt.
Not much. I need husks. Tie it tight. Stops the bleeding.
Omri's brow tightens, then he hops up and rushes for the door. Spinning into a bathroom, he pulls over a stool to stand on and opens the medicine cabinet.
Husks, husks, husks. Where are the husks? Where are the husks?
He stops searching and stares off pensively. Dashing out of the bathroom, he climbs up a flight of stairs to the third floor. In a room with a handwritten sign stuck to the ceiling which reads, "Skylight, please," Omri peers cautiously in the door. He sneaks past both of his sleeping brothers, crossing the cluttered space and sliding open a closet door. He pulls out a cigar box and slides the closet closed again, then heads out, grabbing a magnifying glass from the shelf holding the rat's cage as he goes. Back in Omri's bedroom, Little Bear sits in the earth-filled tray, listening. The boy darts back into his bedroom, closing the door. Opening the cigar box, he paws through a bunch of toys, then finds one and puts it in the cupboard. Now on the upper shelf, a little man dressed as a World War I medic turns around to face Omri.
Don't be afraid. It's all right. I'm a dream you're having. Someone's hurt.
The boy reaches into the cabinet and scoops the man into his palm. He slides him into the gardening tray near Little Bear.
Someone? Right, well, I'm your man then.
He checks the injury.
No, let me have a look. I can do this in my sleep, mate.
Is he hurt bad?
Dream, is it? I should have guessed. And I sleep. What? The old rotten war's a nightmare. No, no, it's not bad. We'll tape him up.
He looks at his patient.
Well, I'll be jiggered. A bloomin' injured.
Little Bear studies the other man's clothing.
Englishman? Healer?
The medic glances away sheepishly.
Me? I've never heard it put that way. Yes, yes, I am.
I am a healer.
You are you? Well, that's something we've got in common then, isn't it?
Omri looks at them through the magnifying glass.
This is not much.
Do you have husks? A bloomin' injured.
The medic bandages the leg.
All right, rum dream this is. I feel like I'm really in this dream. Very real, very clear. Exciting.
Little Bear waves the magnifying glass away.
Custer's last stand, was it? I know a bit, you know, read up as a boy. You Sitting Bull?
No. Yeah.
The medic notices him waving and holds up a palm.
How?
Little Bear holds his palm up also.
How? There you go, that'll do.
The World War I soldier helps the Native American to his feet.
Thank you.
I'm only doing my duty.
Would you like to wake up now?
No, I never want to wake up. Mud, German shells, awful bloody rats. They eat at wounded men. Ugh. Still, can't desert, even in a dream.
He lifts a palm to his patient again. Little Bear lifts his palm in return. Now, Omri opens the cupboard door to set the medic inside.
Maybe you can dream us again sometime.
A pleasure. Tommy Atkins, at your service. Any night, except when there's an attack on. None of us gets any sleep then. Gotta win the damn war.
Tommy salutes dramatically, and Omri salutes back. Realizing he's incorrectly positioned, the medic turns his back to the boy. Omri briefly closes the door to lock and unlock it, turning the little man back into a toy soldier. As he studies the little figurine, the bedroom door opens. His mom leans into the room.
You up already? Feeling better?
He peers down at the medic toy again.
I feel pretty damn good.
His mother grins warmly.
Really? Come on down and eat breakfast.
He nods, and she steps back in the hall, closing the door. Umri turns and walks over to the tray full of earth as Little Bear limps out of the cardboard box where he was hiding. The boy removes the box from the tray.
You can build here.
Little Bear looks around at the dirt and wood chips surrounding him. He steps over to inspect a pile of paper scraps, twigs, and leaves, then gazes up at the boy.
I need tools.
Umri, come on down.
Who is she?
My mother.
Noah, the mother.
Umri leans closer.
What would you like for breakfast?
Little Bear tilts his head. Moments later in the kitchen, Umri takes a seat.
Granola, please.
His mom throws him a stunned look.
Have I died and gone to heaven?
With berries and cranberry juice, please.
The boy doesn't meet his mother's eyes as she stares at him. Pulling a string to turn on a light, Umri gazes around his father's general contracting office and workshop. He gathers up some twine, lacing leather, and jigsaw blades, then pulls the light cord again. Now, Little Bear chews on a chunk of granola the size of his fist. Umri, leaning on the toy chest, peers down at the man as he also munches on granola. Smiling while he chews, Little Bear lifts up his ball of granola as if toasting.
I have to go to school.
What is school?
Learn things. All day.
Good. Learn the stories of your ancestors. Go. I am ready to build.
Umri creates a makeshift staircase from a deck of cards, a hockey puck, and a yo-yo, then extends the ladder of a toy fire truck to reach the top of the toy chest.
Anything else?
A hatchet.
The boy rushes to his closet toy box, then dashes to the cupboard. He sets a toy knight in shining armor in the cupboard, brings it to life, snatches a battle axe from his hand, and shuts him back in. The knight, now a toy again, Umri tosses it over his shoulder. The boy gives the axe to Little Bear and slides the toy chest over to better hide the tray. As the small man studies the axe, Umri leans over the chest.
I'll miss you.
Little Bear briefly locks eyes with the boy. Outside, the parents wait. Then the three brothers dash down the front steps.
Come on, guys, let's go.
See you later, Mom. See you, Dad.
Bye, guys. Bye, Umri.
Bye, Dad.
Umri and his mom head off. In the classroom, students sit in an oval.
Can I get your attention, please? Okay, are we ready? Shall we read? Who wants to go first?
Can I do it?
Many kids raise their hands.
Emily?
Today I got Punisher, the masterpiece of my collection. Also, I got the first hologram card. I'm looking for the original card of Wolverine.
Very good, Emily.
The bespectacled teacher looks around.
JFK. There was once a man named JFK who always wanted to be good and do what was right. JFK was elected president of the United States in 1960.
Okay.
He points.
I have a magic cupboard that has a magic key. Put a plastic Indian in the cupboard and he came alive. He is a real Iroquois man. He talks, he eats, he trusts me.
The teacher nods appreciatively.
That's very interesting. Good imagination.
Omri's dark-haired friend peers over. Later, in a school hallway where the diorama of a Riverside Native American village is on display, Umri dashes in. He touches some of the figurines, finally picking up one and replacing it with his many-armed skeletal action figure. He slips away with the Native American figurine. In Omri's bedroom, a view moves slowly around the wooden toy chest. On the far side, Little Bear can be seen straddling a curved roof beam of his unfinished longhouse, his legs dangling below. He looks around, listening. The small man stiffens at the noise. He turns, gazing toward the ceiling, then exhales and hangs his head forward. After a moment, Little Bear raises his head and goes back to work on his house. The floor above, the dad works on building a skylight in his older two sons' bedroom. Downstairs, the front door opens.
Omri
rushes inside and trots up the stairs. He bursts into his room and closes the door. He dumps some library books about the Iroquois on his bed and pulls back the toy chest. He freezes, taking in the sight of the finished longhouse. Shaped like a barrel-topped steamer trunk, the detailed little dwelling is carefully crafted out of the random supplies.
Your house is fantastic.
It will do. It is agreeable.
Little Bear tightens some straps.
I learned a lot about you today.
Good. Tonight I will hunt for food, and we will cook meat, and we will tell stories. You tell all about me.
Little Bear?
Omri holds out the figurine he took from the diorama, an elderly Native American man holding a longbow and wearing a three-feathered headdress. Little Bear wears a concerned expression.
Keep the man, Omri?
Just a bow and arrow.
Little Bear steps closer, a smile spreading on his lips.
Can I watch?
Omri nods. Now, Little Bear stands beside the cupboard as Omri sets the toy inside.
His mohawk. It is an excellent bow.
Omri closes the door, twists the key, and reopens it. He snatches the bow and quiver from the now living figure inside and starts to close the door again, but sees the old man trembling fearfully.
It's all right. It's okay.
The little man clutches his chest and drops down.
Little Bear?
Little Bear steps over to the motionless old man, kneeling beside him. Omri swallows anxiously as Little Bear touches the lifeless man's breast.
He is dead.
He's dead? They killed him?
He is old. His days are done. Scanner Sahetse.
Little Bear places the man's hands over his chest. He bows his head above the body. Omri watches as Little Bear gently touches the old man's forehead. Little Bear clasps the man's folded hands, then rises.
We must bury him.
Bury him? Us here?
Yes. You never had a dead man here?
Omri shakes his head. Little Bear backs into the shadows of the cupboard.
Do people die here?
People die, we just don't see them.
How do you not see them?
Come down here, please.
Omri turns toward the door, then faces Little Bear with an anguished expression.
Can I just send him back?
Little Bear gazes down toward the body.
You are afraid of him? A dead man?
The boy lowers his head, and Little Bear scrutinizes him with a furrowed brow.
You are a child. Yes, send him back.
What if he was alone?
Then he is alone.
Omri leans in closer.
Where were you?
Guiding my nephew through the woods, to live alone for a season, learn to be a man. You should not do magic, you do not understand.
Omri glances toward the door, then faces Little Bear with a pleading look.
Send him back. He would want to be back.
Little Bear steps out of the cabinet, and Omri sets the bow and quiver next to him, closes the cupboard, and twists the key. The dead man now a toy again, Omri runs to the door, then turns back.
Are you mad at me?
Little Bear stares back at the boy coldly, and Omri leaves the room. The Native American turns to gaze back toward the old man figurine. Moments later, downstairs.
What did you do with him?
Omri sits in an armchair in front of his father, fidgeting his fingers.
I buried them.
My saw blades? Why? Those are my things. I work with them. I need them now.
What do you want me to do?
His dad's expression softens.
We'll go to Yaps and buy a set. Come on.
He rises, and Omri hops up also.
I can go alone. It's like a block away. You don't need to go with me like I'm a baby. Besides, I've been before. You just didn't know.
Eyes wide, the man stares unblinking at his son, looking him up and down. Then he nods faintly.
Okay.
Omri's dad pulls out his wallet, takes out some cash, and hands it to the boy. Leaving his father's side, Omri steps over to the front door and heads outside, closing the door behind him. His dad strolls over to the door and leans into the jam, peering out the sheer curtains. Outside, Omri makes his way down a bustling city street, passing by graffiti-covered buildings and overflowing trash cans. His beat-up sneakers pad swiftly down the crowded sidewalk. With the twin towers of the World Trade Center looming in the distance, Omri crosses a traffic-filled road and heads into a building with an awning reading, Yap's Hardware. Back in his room, the cupboard is now empty. Alongside it, Little Bear works to finish wrapping the figurine of the dead old man in a purple felt burial shroud. Now done, he rises up, gripping the longbow and quiver in one hand. Back outside, Omri strides away from the hardware store holding a paper bag when a teen in a mohawk slams him into a wall.
Okay, what'd you get? Let me see what you got.
The kid checks the bag.
This is junk. Give me the money.
He takes the change from Omri's hand and tears off.
You, come back! You don't deserve that hair!
Omri stares off after the thief, then turns slowly in a circle, taking in the chaotic city streets around him. He sinks down despondently, cradling his face in his hands. Holding out a figurine of a horse-riding cowboy, his dark-haired friend leans in.
Hey, Omri. Look. I got this guy to go with your Indian.
Patrick? Omri, are you okay?
Patrick's mom peers over, a baby in a carrier on her back. Now home, Omri and Patrick's family walk in the front door.
Omri, are you sure you're okay?
Patrick's mom heads deeper in the house.
Patrick?
Patrick follows her, leaving Omri alone in the front vestibule, gently kicking a basketball around distractedly. Listening intently, he dashes upstairs. He peers toward his bedroom. Omri sees both his brothers on the floor leaning over something.
I think you got this. Look how small it is.
What are you guys looking at?
Omri.
They're studying the longhouse.
How did you make this?
The rat rolls by inside the plastic ball.
Don't bring that rat in here.
I found him in here, Beavis, and my figures and my magnifying glass. What else do you have that's mine?
That thing was in here?
This is great. Dad should see this.
Well, you both leave my room right now.
He's temperamental.
Patrick, standing in the doorway, shares a look with his friend. The rat exercise ball rolls into Omri's foot, then he rears back and kicks it.
Hey!
It bounces into the hallway, rebounds off a wall, and tumbles down the stairs. The rat-carrying ball ricochets off the front door and spins wildly like a top. The two older brothers head away from Omri's bedroom, holding the magnifying glass and cigar box. Inside the room...
Gotta promise me.
What?
Little Bear, where are you?
Omri peers under the bed.
Little Bear,
what are we looking for?
Little Bear.
Omri rises and steps carefully across the room as Patrick stares down at the longhouse.
Little Bear? Little Bear?
Here. Omri shoves the toy fire engine aside and lies on his belly to spot Little Bear under a radiator.
It's all right. You can come out.
I heard them and I ran.
That was good.
They are enemies?
Brothers.
Brothers? Those brothers took my house.
Patrick watches from a distance, mouth agape.
I'm in the dark here. Send me back. I want to go back.
But I brought my friend to meet you.
Patrick?
Little Bear.
Patrick lifts a hand to wave numbly.
Another great spirit? Make another little man?
No. No more men. Little Bear, will you come out?
No. You come in.
Patrick moves closer, peering under the radiator with wide eyes.
This is the plastic Indian? Not plastic anymore.
How did you do that?
The cupboard.
Show me.
The two boys rise, and Little Bear watches as they step over to the cupboard.
Put a plastic thing in and lock it. It's a person. The person is alive.
Omri looks down and spots the felt-shrouded figurine of the old man. He gently picks it up.
They are real people. They can even be real dead people.
Wow.
Omri puts the longhouse back in position.
I want to make a live one.
No, never. It's an enormous, huge responsibility.
I'm a responsible person.
Omri, I'm down here.
Omri heads for the door.
Don't touch the cupboard.
Okay.
Grabbing the hardware store bag, he turns back to Patrick.
I mean it, Patrick. It means a lot to me.
His friend gone, Patrick turns toward the open cupboard. Omri trots downstairs and hands his dad the bag.
Thank you. I heard. I see your arm.
Omri shows a scraped elbow.
You all right? Ooh, you need to wash that.
It's not much.
His mom smiles warmly.
A very strong will.
Good ones all have a strong will.
Patrick is just plain defiant.
Omri watches his parents walk away, then rushes back upstairs. He opens his bedroom door.
No! No!
Yes!
No, it's not a game!
Patrick opens the cupboard, and a little cowboy rides out on horseback. The horse runs in circles around the desktop, then stops abruptly, sending the cowboy flying. Omri leaps, catching the man before he hits the ground.
Hey! God dang it, put me down!
Omri dumps him on the bed.
Tarnation!
He rises, his back to the boys.
I promise no more. Not another drop.
He's mine.
Patrick, shut your eyes! Watch out,
the cowboy spins and shoots.
Out. Get back! Come on.
Patrick backs away from the bed.
He shot me!
Delirious! Hellfire and damnation! That's what it is, the delirious! That cheap rotten candy shoot dip. William Howard, where are you, pot-bellied drunkard? Anthony Miles, come out, you son of a buck's horse's ass!
I can't believe it! He really shot me!
Darn!
The cowboy spots a tiny horse on the desk.
What the hell are you doing way over there?
I can't believe it. This is great.
This is not so great.
Oh, this has got to be a delirium.
I want help, Patrick.
Where's my hat?
I can't stay here. I want to keep him.
Now I've lost my goddamn hat.
Can we please send him back, Patrick?
I'm coming to get you, darling.
Patrick.
I want him, Omri.
Not one more drop as long as I live.
He notices Omri and Patrick.
Oh, my dear sweet Lord. I need a drink.
Patrick.
This is just getting worse by the minute.
What's your name?
Boone. What's yours, Mr. Delirium?
Omri shuts his bedroom door.
He is so cool.
Step back, cowpie.
Omri pushes Patrick back.
How are you going to take care of him?
I'm coming!
Let me keep him.
Omri glances at Boone, who looks around with a frightened expression. Omri turns his attention back to his friend.
Okay.
Yes!
But it's gotta stay a secret or we'll lose him.
Listen, let me keep him here tonight. I have this under control. Will you bring him to school tomorrow?
School?
They look at Boone, who sits on the bed.
Everybody's so big.
Will you be okay? Don't cry.
I always cry. The boys call me Boo-Hoo Boone.
He puts a cigarette in his mouth.
I've got a soft heart.
Patrick!
Patrick rushes out the door, then pokes his head back into the room.
Bring him to school tomorrow. Promise?
I promise.
Don't put them together. You know, cowboys and Indians.
Duh.
Indians.
Oh, and Omri, don't turn him back. Please.
Okay.
What Indians?
Omri leans on his door. As he smokes, Boone crawls around on the folds of the blanket. He peeks over the edge of the bed and sees Little Bear standing by the chest. Squinting, he tosses away his cigarette.
Redskins.
He draws his gun.
No!
Omri picks Boone up.
Hey, what do you mean? You better put me down. Who do you think you are? I'm telling you what's the truth. I'll leave you in your grave. I don't care how big you are.
Omri sets him down inside a drawer, and the little cowboy leans against a baseball.
I'll return to me my hat, Tenderfoot.
You say you take no more men. You tell blind stories.
Omri stares apologetically at Little Bear, then brings Boone his hat. He snatches it angrily.
You better watch out that savage don't scalp you in your sleep. Injun lover. Wait, wait.
Closing the drawer gently, Omri leaves it open a crack. Little Bear gazes at him disappointedly, then goes back behind the chest. Later, Omri steps very carefully into the backyard, his dingy sneakers treading along the stone path. Slowly, he lowers to his knees and gently places the cardboard toy box on the ground. He opens up a flap, and a tiny deer walks out onto small pebbles and wood chips before disappearing into the grass, which towers over it. Little Bear comes out of the box holding his bow. He looks up at Omri with a grateful smile before grabbing an arrow from the quiver on his back and following the deer. Now, Omri opens the door to his brother's room. Finding it vacant, he quickly steals the rat's exercise ball and leaves. He descends a set of stairs into a basement and turns on the light in the laundry room. Lifting the lid off a woven hamper, Omri buries the exercise ball under some clothes, then adds some more on top. Later, Omri returns to the backyard and gets down on his knees, using a garden trowel to dig a small hole in the dirt.
Skin and do.
Little Bear kneels beside the deer's body.
Now we become reconciled as you start away.
Little Bear lifts his bowed head and takes out his knife. Omri observes him thoughtfully, then reaches into his pocket, producing the dead mohawk wrapped in felt.
Now we become reconciled as you start away.
He delicately lays him in the hole, and Little Bear looks over as Omri uses the trowel to fill the grave with dirt. That night, Boone lies on a shark-printed piece of clothing in the drawer and scratches himself in his sleep. Omri checks on him and leaves the drawer open before climbing into bed. He pulls his covers over himself and settles on his side. He smiles at shadows and firelight on the wall of Little Bear and the horse on the other side of the chest. His mom comes in.
Don't you want this open?
I'm not scared anymore. You can close it.
Okay.
She shuts the door behind her. As Omri lies back down and snuggles into his pillow, Little Bear peeks out from around the chest.
Is she in the dark?
What do you mean?
Does she know of me?
No.
I'm alone. I need a wife.
Little Bear drops his gaze, then slips behind the chest and out of sight. Omri blinks pensively before drifting off to sleep. Morning light shines into Omri's drawer where a shoelace tied around the baseball leads down to the hardwood floor. As Omri rolls over in his sleep, Boone takes cover behind a shoe on the floor. He fires his gun at Little Bear, who shoots an arrow at him. Another arrow hits the heel of the shoe, which flashes red. Omri wakes up, blinking drowsily. Boone's horse runs off.
Darling!
As he chases the horse, Little Bear charges.
Darling! Every time I try to... We're supposed to be a team!
Little Bear hops up onto the shoe and shoots the hat off Boone's head.
Hey! Dang!
Omri gets up as Boone yanks the arrow out of his hat.
Dang it!
No! Stop! Behave!
Behave!
He says I steal his horse. He shoots at me. Your day had not so high.
If that's true, I'll squish him like a bug. Boone, drop it.
Well, she's my horse.
Drop it!
No!
Omri picks Boone up and sets him on a bedpost.
I'm tired of getting hauled around every time. I might have known you'd take the side of that stinking savage.
He smells Omri, and he calls me a dirty savage.
Oh, I didn't call you dirty. I called you stinking.
Stop it, Boone.
Shh.
Listen to me. Boone is leaving. You don't have to live together.
Where am I asked at my coffee? I like to start my day with a cup of coffee.
Okay, if you'll be good, I'll make you breakfast.
Omri cooks like a woman. You are a woman.
Oh, please. You guys are so old-fashioned.
I'll have you know I am a civilized man. Unlike some.
Where did you come from?
I come from Texas, Mr. Half-a-Brain. The United States of America, comprendi?
Omri, Texas?
You're from Texas?
I'm proud of it. Now, where'd you say you're taking me?
I'm taking you to school.
White man goes to school?
That's right.
Yes.
I go to school.
No, you wouldn't like it.
He can go, I can go.
It's too risky.
Whiskey?
Risky, dangerous.
Good, I like danger. Do you like danger, Texas man?
Are you threatening me, Injun? You better get you some help if you think you can take your scalp.
Omri, send him back. Do it.
Between them, Omri bends forward in frustration. At school, Patrick cranes his neck and looks around.
Patrick! Hey, Patrick, come on!
He runs to catch up with his class, out front.
Come on!
Omri's mom gestures to him as he walks extremely carefully, wearing a yellow fanny pack around his waist. His mom studies him curiously.
Bye-bye!
Omri waves backwards at her without looking. Inside the school, kids rush into a classroom. Patrick goes the opposite way and looks down the stairs as Omri comes up slowly.
You got him? Check on little.
Where's the engine at?
You all right,
hey,
little
baby? Just let me have that. Poking on me like that.
Come on,
I come
down,
out
Patrick.
Too.
Just give me a
you hear
back.
Me, Texas
boys?
Man?
Shh.
School, remember?
Their teacher shrugs a hand at them, and the two boys step out from behind a textured glass wall. Patrick now wearing the yellow fanny pack. Omri carries Patrick's purple pack as Patrick takes careful steps. In the classroom, Omri eyes the fanny pack on Patrick a few seats away.
All right, thank you very much, Malcolm and Georgia. Thank you. All right, now let's have Emily and Lorette.
Omri continues staring concernedly at the fanny pack as the two girls present their project to the class.
Loretta and I are making a map of the United States. We built it here on a piece of wood. We made the whole country out of flour and water and salt and food coloring. We're using beans for mountains, yarn for the rivers, and rice for the borders.
Inside the yellow fanny pack, Boone sits holding his hat against his knees. From the other side of the pocket, Little Bear glares at the cowboy. Boone scowls.
What in the hell are these folks talking about? Sound to me like they've been hitting the old tornado juice.
Little Bear looks away from him.
You ever been west of Mississippi?
The Native American froze his brow.
Big river.
I have traveled to the far north.
Land of the Micmacs.
Micmacs, huh? Sound too cold for me. Must be pretty country, though.
Yes, cold. Purdy.
Thank you very much. Okay, now let's have Omri and Patrick.
Oh, I'll do it. We both agreed that I'll do it. I'm the best talker. You all know that.
Omri rushes to the front and picks up their project.
Patrick and I are in the volcano. It's made out of mixed up Play-Doh, and it's big and round.
In the fanny pack.
The smallpox.
Tears stain Boone's face.
Yes.
Will you marry again, Little Bear?
Little Bear's eyes shine with tears.
If there is a woman for me.
Maybe have another little child.
Yes. I will heal when I have another child.
Little children are the sun and the moon and the stars.
Little Bear flashes a quick glance at Boone and smiles softly.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today, the hot lunch will be macaroni and cheese and a build-your-own sandwich. Also, don't worry about the library iguana. It's molting. It's a natural process. Origami is canceled today.
Damn.
Now, let me introduce you to today's first grader.
Now, kids file out of the classroom.
All right, everybody. Stay in double line, please. Thank you. Follow Mrs. Cox. Omri, you know, that's a wonderful story that you're writing.
Yeah.
Have you read about the Iroquois?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? And what interested you the most about it?
Well, there were 6 tribes that joined together to stop the war.
You know that they formed a true government. As a matter of fact, our constitution borrowed a lot from the Iroquois.
Yeah.
And so,
Omri sees Patrick
else?
With 2 boys.
I gotta get going to computer class.
No!
Omri runs to Patrick.
What are you doing, you crazy?
I'm just having fun.
This is real. They're 2 real men in the middle of their real lives. Not fun. Shove it!
Hey, hello. Excuse me. What's going on here? Huh? What happened?
Omri turns away.
What happened? All right. Somebody start talking.
I don't think we can resolve this right now.
Well, I think we need to try.
I can resolve it. Want to see how?
No!
I could do it.
Do what?
No!
I could.
Show what, Patrick?
You can't! They're people. You can't use people!
Patrick's expression softens as he looks at his friend's agitated face. Omri spins around and leans against the staircase banister.
All right.
The teacher glances between the 2 boys.
Patrick, show me what's in your pouch, please.
Omri turns around, pressing his clasped hands to his forehead.
Please. Patrick, show me what's in your pouch.
Patrick reaches down to the fanny pack, pausing before slowly unzipping it. Omri hustles over and leans toward the pack.
They're just plastic toys.
Plastic people. They're just completely plastic.
Okay.
Plastic.
That's fine, Omri. Fine.
Plastic.
Yes, thank you. Let me see. Let me see.
Patrick's eyes shift between the teacher and Omri, who squeezes his eyes closed. Lowering his gaze, Patrick opens the fanny pack, and Omri crosses fingers on both his hands. Patrick looks up to the teacher, whose gaze remains focused on his hand. His palm flat, Patrick shows him Boone and Little Bear frozen in poses like toys.
They're just people.
The teacher regards both the boys seriously.
All right, why don't the 2 of you work this out? But no more fighting, okay?
All right.
Go catch up with your class.
He heads off, and Boone and Little Bear relax in Patrick's palm. The teacher goes back to his classroom as Patrick and Omri return the 2 little men to the fanny pack. Omri pats Patrick's back as they walk off together. Later, Omri reads in class.
Just like having a child. Every time I'm away from him, I worry that he is okay. I come home and open the door and worry about what I will find. But he's a man. I can't treat him like a baby.
The teacher smiles, then nods at Omri.
Sam.
JFK. JFK was about the youngest man ever president. There were little kids in the White House.
After school, Omri rushes outside to his mom.
Mom, can Patrick please spend the night?
She stands with Patrick's mom. Omri shows Patrick something. He tucks the figurine in his pocket.
Excuse me.
Omri gently pushes a kid as he guides Patrick away from the school. Both of them moving with extreme caution. Back inside, another figurine in the Riverside Village diorama has been replaced by a larger scale action figure of a burly man in a suit. At Omri's house, his mom holds the door open as the two boys move painstakingly through the foyer. She smiles in amusement and walks past them, Omri with his hands on Patrick's shoulders as they go upstairs.
Who will she be?
Now in Omri's room.
What is that?
It's a wife.
A wife? My mother should choose me a wife.
But your mother's not here.
You know, I've been thinking about settling down my own self.
Little Bear shoots Boone a look. Omri and Patrick stand up and turn to the desk, but find the cupboard gone.
It's gone. The cupboard's gone.
They look around his room.
Who would take it?
In his room, AD wears headphones and stares at a skylight. Omri barges in, Gilly sitting at the desk.
Where is it?
Where's what?
What the hell?
The cupboard, butthead!
Hey, who gave you that cupboard?
Omri please. Searches the room.
Where's the cupboard? Gilly, please!
Where's my wrap bottle?
Omri darts out of the room and hurries downstairs. In the laundry room, he throws the lid off the hamper, then desperately pulls clothes out of it. He scans the floor, then notices the rat's ball on top of a cabinet. He climbs onto the dryer to grab it. Omri hurries back into his brother's room and rolls the ball to Gilly.
Where? Please!
In the crawl space.
Hastily dashing downstairs, Omri swings open the door beneath the staircase. He moves a few items aside and finds the cupboard. Omri sits back on his haunches in relief before a confused look touches his face. He opens the cupboard but finds no key in the hole. Taking the stairs two at a time, he sprints to his brother's room.
Key! The key! Where's the key?
There was no key, I swear.
Now, Patrick searches under Omri's bed, then straightens. Meanwhile, Omri scours the staircase on his hands and knees. Later, he leans against the crawlspace door and gazes at the cupboard. Back in his room, Omri and Patrick stare grimly at the floor.
You mean we've got to live here forever? Little like this? No new wife or little bear, no baby? He needs a baby.
I could look for another key.
I want to go home. We've just got the railroad coming through town, and we've got a new doctor. Good doctor. Hell, it's 1879. I'm living at the dawn of a new century.
Boone stomps away and takes a seat next to Little Bear against the longhouse.
Now I know what you're talking about, Little Bear. God sure do play with men, all right.
There is no God here.
Meanwhile, Omri's parents sit on the back porch with glasses of wine as they watch the pouring rain. At the bottom of the stairs, AD waits with a group of teenage boys.
Come on, Gilly!
Gilly hustles downstairs.
Bye, Mom! Bye, Dad!
Bye, Mom!
Bye, Mom!
Gilly grabs his jacket, and one of their friends puts on his hood as they all leave. In a bedroom, Omri and Patrick sit up in a bed. With Boone perched on Patrick's knees, they watch a TV, which plays a music video with scantily clad women dancing in a strip club. Little Bear sits off by himself with his back turned. Boone stares at the screen.
Disgusting display. And they do this in front of you children?
It's not real.
Oh, it's real, all right, son. It's real.
Let's change the Discovery Channel.
Omri uses a remote.
Roaming the great savannas of Africa.
On a show, a group of elephants walks together.
Let me see that clicker.
Patrick changes the channel to a black and white program. A Native American man is shot and falls into a river before more of his people are killed. Little Bear glances over his shoulder at the TV.
Patches. The ugliest redskins ever walked the face of the earth.
Little Little Bear slowly stands, his eyes glued to the Native Americans getting slaughtered on TV.
Get him, boys! Hell yeah!
The Native Americans on television flee up a rocky slope. Little Bear walks to the edge of the bed. Flashes of lightning outside briefly illuminate the dark room as Little Bear faces the TV screen. Holding his bow and arrows, he turns his horrified face left and right as the Native Americans in the program are taken out one by one. Little Bear knocks an arrow and aims it at the shooters on the TV screen. He shifts his aim to the various men firing at the Native Americans below. Boone fires his gun in the air. Little Bear whirls around and looses his arrow, which hits Boone in the chest. Omri turns off the TV. Boone looks down at the arrow.
Little Bear? Miko?
Boone falls forward, plummeting down the long drop from Patrick's knees to the bed. His hat flies off. Patrick and Omri wear stunned expressions, and Little Bear looks on regretfully. Boone lies on the blanket, his eyes closed and arms outstretched. Now, Patrick holds a piece of fabric in his hands, gazing at it sadly as he walks past the staircase banister. Omri follows close behind him. They go into Omri's room and kneel by the longhouse, where Patrick sets down the piece of fabric. Little Bear walks onto the fabric and drops to his knees beside Boone. Omri and Patrick watch with concern as Little Bear leans his ear to Boone's chest.
He's alive.
Well, I wish we had Tommy.
We do not have the key.
Can you take the arrow out?
Blood will flow. Get me husks.
We have no husks.
Bracing one hand on Boone's chest, Little Bear wrenches out the arrow and Omri flinches. Still holding the arrow, Little Bear gazes despondently at the unconscious Boone, then angles his face slightly toward the boys.
Leave me.
They straighten, and Patrick scoots backwards. A shaft of moonlight shines across the toy chest as rain continues to pour outside. Later.
Boys?
Omri's mom opens the door, and the boys quickly move to their beds.
It's time for bed.
Can you turn out the light, please?
Sure.
Patrick lies down on the floor beside Omri's bed.
Oh, I feel like I haven't seen you in days. Cartoon day tomorrow.
Nah, I don't think we'll watch, thanks.
Smiling softly, Omri's mom smooths back his hair and kisses his forehead.
Good night.
Night, Mom.
Night, Patrick.
Good night, Janie.
Oh, listen, if you hear noises under the floor, it's Gilly's rat.
What?
He escaped. Dad pulled up that loose floorboard under your table. He tried to look for him, but he couldn't get him.
That rat's under my floor?
Maybe. He might have moved on. If we're lucky, he moved out.
Oh, no.
I know. Good night, guys.
She leaves. Omri immediately climbs out of bed, and he and Patrick kneel over the longhouse.
Do you think he'll be okay? A rat'll eat at a wounded man. Now we really can't go to sleep at all. We'll take turns. If you go first, I'll give you $1,000,000. Okay.
Patrick climbs into the bed and pulls the covers over himself. Omri sits against the radiator and gazes down at the longhouse. Later, Omri slumbers on the floor by the radiator, and Patrick lies across the bed, sound asleep. Omri stirs, pushing himself off the floor and glancing over his shoulder. He sees Little Bear kneeling beside Boone, shaking a blue rattle over him. Omri lies back down with his face on the hardwood floor. lifting his head drowsily. Omri notices a floorboard being pushed up from underneath. His eyes pop wide open.
Patrick, wake up. Patrick, I hear the rat. Patrick, get up.
Patrick follows his friend over to the floorboard, which Omri tries to pry up. The floorboard pops up, and Omri reaches inside, rooting around in the dark space. Omri gets up and digs around in a drawer, producing a flashlight. He turns it on, noticing a crack in one of the floorboards. He gets down on the floor to take a closer look.
It's the key! It's the key!
Get it!
Omri hands Patrick the flashlight, and he peers down through the crack.
Watch out!
Omri uses the blade of a Swiss Army knife to reach into the crack for the key. His face tense with concentration, Omri wields the knife, accidentally knocking the key out of sight.
Oh no!
Let me go.
Little Bear wanders over, and the boys observe as he tries to lower himself through the crack, but gets stuck in the narrow opening.
I am too big!
See if you can get under that loose floorboard over there. There's an animal, a big animal. Move fast.
The Native American cautiously approaches the lifted floorboard, glancing back at the boys before dropping down below the floor.
Do you see a way? Is there a hole?
Yes, I see one. Omri?
Yeah?
What are also dangers?
Everything.
With the boys' faces looming over him, Little Bear ventures into the dark.
Did he take his bow and arrow? Does he have his knife?
Omri aims the flashlight at the loose floorboard, his brow knit worriedly. He and Patrick scoot over to the cracked floorboard.
Little Bear!
The rat runs under the crack.
Little Bear!
Omri pulls up a small carpet, and the boys look all around the bedroom's floor.
I hear him!
Over there!
Patrick turns on a light.
Little Bear!
Patrick helps Omri push the bed a few inches to the side. They peer under it.
Where is he? Look back!
Omri dives over the bed, then presses his ear to the floor. He sits up abruptly. His eyes shift back and forth alertly before he shares a nervous glance with Patrick. Omri crawls over to the lifted floorboard.
Oh, come back, come back!
What's that?
Oh, I don't know. Please, Little Bear, come back. Why won't he come?
They stare hopefully at the opening.
Omri!
His lips pressed tightly together in concentration, Omri leans down and reaches his hand below the floorboard. He lifts his hand back up, Little Bear clinging to his index finger with the cupboard's key hanging from his tiny foot. Omri's eyes light up and he grabs the key. Little Bear drops down to the floor with a smile. Suddenly, the rat leaps through the opening. Patrick catches the rat in his hand and quickly takes it out of the room. Little Bear lies back exhaustedly on the floor. Smiling, Omri holds up the key and Little Bear grins back. Now, Omri unlocks the cupboard. Tommy looks up at him.
Oh, it's you again. I do pick my moments to fall asleep, I must say. Thundering great Minnie whining over head. Phew! Thought I was a goner. Perhaps I am a goner. Did I die?
No. You're dreaming again.
Oh, phew.
Patrick comes back in.
Oh, there's two of you now, are there? Good show. Well, Take me to him, the elegant Indian, is it?
No, it's another.
On the piece of fabric, Boone lies unconscious with a makeshift bandage over his wound. Tommy arrives and kneels next to Little Bear. He takes off the bandage.
Oh, that's clever. Oh, hello again.
Bleeding stopped.
Yes, good. It could do with a blood transfusion, really, but I'm not prepared for that.
He draws fluid into a needle.
A bullet, was it?
Arrow.
Well, lucky it missed his heart and lung.
As Tommy administers the injection, Omri and Patrick look away.
Cotton's damp. So, you're a pal of his, are you?
Amigo.
Omri jogs into the bathroom and opens a medicine cabinet, searching the items on the shelves. After closing the medicine cabinet, Omri catches sight of his reflection in the mirror, staring somberly at his serious face. Now, he returns to his room.
There we go, that should just about do it. Look, keep a close watch on him. Plenty of water. You could use a doctor's care.
Omri plods over to Patrick.
There's a doctor in this town.
His friend looks up at him.
No.
When he wakes up.
Not yet.
Omri kneels down next to Patrick.
It's time for them to go home, Patrick.
Little Bear stares at Omri.
Good. That'll do. He needs to sleep. Well, I'll best be getting back. We'll all be waking up soon enough. I'll suggest a drop of brandy.
Tommy stands in the cupboard.
Thank you.
You're welcome, mate. Buckles keep catching on me doodah.
He faces the back of the cupboard, and Omri shuts the door and locks it. When he opens it again, the figurine of Tommy stands still on the bottom shelf. Omri lifts it out and sets it gently on top of the cupboard. Omri comes back over and grins down at Boone, now awake and staring up at Little Bear.
Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself.
The cowboy grimaces.
Oh.
Little Bear touches his shoulder.
I hurt you.
Oh, what are you talking about? Did I hear somebody say something about brandy?
Little Bear grins at the boys. Omri and Patrick wear relieved smiles. Later, a view glides over Patrick, lying on a sleeping bag on the floor. He sleeps with his hand resting on the piece of fabric, where Boone slumbers under his own tiny blanket. Observing them, Omri shifts his gaze to the longhouse. Omri slowly slides open his desk drawer and takes out the Native American woman figurine. He brings the figurine over to the cupboard and puts it inside on the top shelf. He swings the door closed and wraps his hand around the key.
No, Omri. She has her life. She has a family. A clan. Maybe a husband and a child.
I don't want you to be alone.
I will be with my people.
They share a long look, and Omri takes the figurine out of the cupboard.
Omri. I will be with you when the sun rises.
One more time.
In the morning, the rising sun peeks between the twin towers. In Omri's room, the dresser has been pushed up against the door and the cupboard moved onto the chest, along with the longhouse. Boone, Patrick, and Omri watch Little Bear perform a traditional dance with his rattle around a fire in front of his house. On the bottom shelf of the cupboard, Boone does his own dance to the music, grimacing and touching his injury.
yo, hey, got your way, yo, what he, yo, hey, yeah.
Hey, son. Now, when we go back, are we going back to the last thing we remember, or are we going ahead?
I don't know.
Boy, I hope it's forwards. How about you, little bear? Little bear, where are you headed?
I was on the journey with my brother's son. I think I will wake up in the woods. It is quiet. And the nights are getting cold. I can almost smell the trees.
Lord, I can almost smell them, too. It's like I'm part Indian now, my own self.
If you were my nephew, it would almost be time to walk you through the forest.
I would go.
Little Bear and Omri regard each other wistfully. Little Bear's gaze lingers on Omri. Then he sits cross-legged in front of his small fire and puts down his rattle.
It is difficult. You would live by yourself. Care for yourself.
He pours dirt from a pouch into his palm, then sprinkles it on the fire.
On a go. Let's cut dandia.
Little Bear dumps more dirt into his hand and holds it out to Omri. The boy extends his hand over the fire, and Little Bear gives him the dirt, which forms a tiny pile on Omri's middle finger. He pinches the dirt between his thumb and index finger, then sprinkles it onto the flames, causing a flurry of tiny sparks.
We would travel for days, tell stories, hunt, and fish. I leave you and return to the village. You must live alone for one season. You would learn to live in harmony with Mother Nature. The two-legged, four-legged, the winged.
Omri closes his eyes.
When the seasons changed, my nephew would come home. I would be waiting for you.
Little bear.
And we would have a great celebration. Because you returned to the village as a man.
Blurred green foliage appears behind Omri, and a hand touches his shoulder. Omri opens his eyes, which widen as he looks up at a regular-sized little bear standing before him in a lush forest. Sunlight filters through the tall trees around them as Omri gazes up at Little Bear in wonderment.
When I leave you, Omri, I take you as my nephew.
Omri beams, flashing his gap-toothed grin at Little Bear, who smiles fondly at the boy.
Time to go, gentlemen.
In reality, Little Bear stands on the bottom shelf of the cupboard with Boone.
Easy, darling. Easy now. Don't y'all forget me.
Patrick and Omri look down at them.
I won't.
Boone turns his head toward Little Bear.
You look after yourself now, Little Bear.
Neil. You saw Ungachi, and you, friend.
Boone tips his hat to him, then lifts it off his head as he grins at the boys.
Goodbye, my friendly giants.
Great spirit.
Yes, little bear.
Tell me about the Onondaga. Are we always a great people?
You are always a great people. But it's not always so good.
Things change for us.
They will.
With his eyes glued to Omri, Little Bear steps back.
We go. One.
Little Bear raises his right hand and gazes up at Omri, whose nostrils flare as he regards his tiny friend emotionally. Little Bear's brow furrows, and a fearful expression touches his face. His eyes glassy.
Now!
Boone's horse rears up, and the cowboy holds out his hat. Beside him, Little Bear bends at the knees as he glances at the horse. With tears in his eyes, Omri swings the cupboard shut. Omri's hand hesitates on the key in the lock before turning it. When he opens the door to the cupboard, he finds the figurine of Little Bear looking toward Toy Boone's rearing horse. Omri stares at them tearfully. With his eyes fixed on the figurine of Little Bear, tears roll down Omri's cheeks and the corners of his mouth twitch into a sad smile. In class,
I will never know where he is or how he is, but now I don't worry about him anymore. I think Little Bear will have lots of children, and he will teach them everything. He will always take care of his people. That's all.
Very nice. That's a good ending, Omri. Sam.
One day, JFK was killed. He was shot on a street in Texas. My grandpa says that he remembers exactly where he was.
Seated in a circle with his classmates, Omri stares off distractedly. The view moves around him, then close to Omri's pensive face, a slight smile on his lips. He continues to gaze off with a distant look, then grins. Cut to black. Credits roll. Thank you. Copyright 1995 by Paramount Pictures Corporation and Columbia Pictures Industries Incorporated. Trademark Paramount Pictures Corporation. All rights reserved. In memory of Patrick Tanner. Animal action was monitored by the American Humane Association. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Paramount Pictures. Voice by Laura Post. Light passes over the stylized silver letters KM, the Kennedy Marshall Company. Stars form an arch over a distinctive pyramid-like mountain. Paramount, a Viacom company.